Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where you're listening to Two Geeks Geek Out with Beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And Frank's beer that is falling down his throat into his tum-tum is what?
I'm actually drinking Blue Moon's peach ale.
Especially Blue Moon's peach ale.
Yeah.
Spring is in the air when the peach ale comes out.
It's their seasonal beer, and it's Blue Moon First Peach Ale.
Oh.
And I rather like it. It's still like a wheat beer, but with some nice peach notes.
Peach newts?
Notes.
No, oh, okay.
You turned me into a newt.
Well, we did the nose and the hat.
But she's still
a witch.
She's a witch.
I'm still on the Miller 64 because I bought an 18-pack for myself.
Ooh, so, very nice.
Yeah, well, I thought if I bought the large pack, it would dissuade me from buying other heavier, carbier beers,
that's good.
Of, you know, losing weight and all of that stuff. And so it seems to be working. Actually, I consume twice as many Miller 64s as opposed to one beer to make up for the fact that I'm drinking Miller 64.
So it still ends up being the same amount of calories.
So it still ends up being the same.
Oh, boy.
Except that I've had more beer. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
More beer, know, more geeking out.
Yeah. More gear, more geeking out all the time.
So exactly. So I've been thinking. So yeah, this is actually our 50th episode.
Wait, can you go back and do that one more time? Can you just say I've been thinking? Go ahead.
I've been thinking.
A dangerous pastime?
I know.
Thank you. All
right. Okay.
you kept rolling before I could spit it out because I was trying to take a sip at the same time. And I was like, oh, it was a beautiful setup. This never happens. Okay. So anyway,
beautiful. You've
been thinking. Anyway,
beautiful.
It is our 50th episode. You are absolutely right.
It is our 50th episode. And I was thinking it would be fun to kind of take a step back and reflect on a little bit on like the things we've talked about up till now. It's been, I can't believe it's been 50 episodes already. also like how I wanted to ask you, how do you remember when you first started realizing like, oh, I guess I'm like a nerd or a geek or, you know, whatever term you prefer. Do you kind of remember when you started to notice that about yourself, that like, I guess I'm into these things that are considered nerdy or geeky?
You know, that's a good question, because when you're growing up, like as a boy, when you're growing up, everyone kind of almost likes the same stuff.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like the same stuff.
Right. There's a lot of stuff that's popular.
Right. Like everyone grew up on, for us, we grew up on Power Rangers, and we grew up on superheroes and Star Wars and whatever else, all these things. So it's always funny to like, what age are you not supposed to like that stuff anymore? You know what I mean? Like when people veer off and they're like, I choose sports, or I choose Pokemon, or I choose Spider-Man, or, you know, like whatever it is. What is that? When is that gap bridge? I guess it's high school, right? Or maybe it's middle, junior high.
I guess for me, it was probably like between middle school and high school. Yeah.
I guess it's maybe about the time that you're supposed to start liking other things. Like, maybe it's the age in which you're not supposed to play with action figures anymore. I think that actually, this is, when you asked me the question, this is what I thought, that I was a huge action figure kid when I was little. I loved action figures. And so I remember reaching a point, maybe about 10 or 11, and thinking like, oh, maybe I'm not supposed to bring this with me to, you know, to this meeting, or you know, that I have to be at for my dad, or, you know, like anything yeah. like that. You know, like, what is that age when you're just supposed to sit there? And so I think that's kind of when I figured it out. That I still wanted to play with my Spider-Man and Green Goblin action figure, and nobody else did.
Mm.
And so, but I don't know if that was an immature was the, I don't know if that's an immaturity thing, or
yeah, might be a little bit late bloomer and a little bit geeky at the same time.
Yeah, I guess so. But I grew up with friends who are also geeky. Like one of my best friends from junior high, so like sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, was a super Star Wars guy. I've talked about him before.
Yeah.
And so that's where we would kind of nerd out together about that. And then I had other friends who were like into shooting BB guns and cars and
yeah.
that stuff. And so, and I knew that superheroes or anything like that wasn't their thing. So I never would bring it up with them.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting observation. I guess before a certain age, a lot of kids have a lot of the same interests. There's a lot of shared, like Pokemon was a big one for us at yeah, a certain huge. Point, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, but there comes an age, like you said, probably middle school or high school, depending whether you're, you know, what you're depending on your situation, where you start to, some people will branch out and like, okay, well, you know, that was for me when I was a kid, but now I'm really into football, or now I'm really into, you know, whatever your hobbies might tend to start being. But that's interesting when you put it that way, that it's like, it's the people who are the geeks are the ones who like kind of like, no, I'm this more for me here to still enjoy, like, just because I'm this age doesn't mean I can't still enjoy this,
right, because
and it starts to take different shapes and different forms. Like, we're not still playing with action figures, but like, we enjoy the stuff that comes along with some of those things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I distinctly remember a moment in high school where a friend of mine, what a lifelong friend, like family friends, we grew up together. We used to look alike when we were little and all this stuff. And he was a Buffy fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember not even really even knowing what Buffy was, but when people knew he was a Buffy fan, and everyone was like, boo, that you're a loser because you like Buffy and all this yeah. stuff. And I remember being like, yeah, I don't know what that is. Like, you know, like, but I guess if everyone else doesn't like it, it must not be cool. Right. And right. like, I never made fun of him for it or anything like that. Sure. It just never came up. But I do distinctly remember that. And so like the liking stuff like monsters or action, this is something about the action genre that yeah. when we were growing up was like, oh, if you like that, you're nerdy.
Yeah. I think, I think that it's that age when, or at least for me, it was, there was a point where like everyone else was like getting super, super into sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't. Like, I've always been a big baseball fan since right. I was like six.
But you didn't play baseball.
I didn't play baseball. I didn't right. play, I never played organized sports. I played baseball like for fun with friends, mm-hmm. like at the park that I lived like a block from. And I'd meet up there and play baseball on like Saturdays and stuff. But I didn't play in like Little League or like for my school or anything like that.
Right.
Everyone else did and always did, but that didn't seem to matter for a long time. And then there was like a certain age where that everyone was like really getting into that around high school, I guess people started really getting into it because they wanted to like play high school sports so they could eventually play college sports. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just didn't, that transition didn't happen for me where I was like, yeah, baseball. I mean, I still enjoy I'd rather watch baseball. Can I just sit on my couch and watch baseball?
Right.
I want
to. Like, why do I have to be out playing baseball?
I mean, I'll play it for the sun.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. The sun is like, as my skin boils every time I get into this. What is this?
My skin's getting darker. What is this? It looks healthy.
This source of light that illuminates my comic books is being my undoing.
Let's just say that you bring up even comic books, like when you were growing, because I didn't seriously start reading comics until I was almost out of high school.
Yeah, actually, same. Yeah. I didn't really start till I was like 17 or 18.
Yeah, that's about the same for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my first comic book I read when I was in high school, but I didn't. I mean, like, not my first comic book ever, but the first one I like sat down like, oh, I heard this comic is really good. I'm going to check it out. I was in high school for that, but it was a couple of years before I started reading regularly after that.
Right. Because I had grown up, I definitely grew up liking superheroes. There's Same. No question. Like I used to watch I watched Batman 66 with my dad and my mom, actually, for that matter, because she liked it growing up too. And so my brother and I we watched the Fox Kids X-Men and Batman and Superman and Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four and the Hulk and Iron Man and basically 90s superhero cartoons. If there was one, we watched it.
Sure.
That and Wishbone, you know.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I didn't watch as many of those as you did, but I definitely watched. I watched just like you watched Batman 66 with your parents. My dad showed me. I told you the story already, but my dad showed me the George Reeves Superman, and that really got me like, ooh, right. Okay, I like this. And then from there, I watched the Fleischer cartoons and
we talked about that.
Those.
Yep.
I had it too. So like that was my entryway. And then like one day they were finally gonna, the WB was showing Star Wars, and mm-hmm. I think it probably wasn't like the network TV premiere of that movie. I'm sure it was shown many, 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 many times before that, but it was, I think maybe right. the WB's first time showing it. And so they were like promoting it a lot. Like, oh, we're going to show Star Wars on this Saturday. Like, mm-hmm. come watch our tiny network because it's Star Wars and you like Star Wars, don't you, kids? And my dad was like, oh, you've never seen Star Wars. We should watch that. Like, that's, you know, you're 7. You'll enjoy this.
Right.
And so we did. And I did. And you know, that started that lifelong love affair. So those things were all there from a very early age, but everyone was you know into superheroes, and everybody was into Star Wars. Like that was, everyone had Star Wars action figures and toys and stuff. Like that wasn't
right,
but weird. I wasn't alone in that.
Right, but when you get to a certain age, people stop with that stuff.
Yeah.
And I find that it's only this generation that's younger than us,
yeah,
that because of, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe and yes. whatever, they've grown up with this stuff, you know, being for kids and for adults.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's moved past the point in which people are like, oh, that's for kids stuff. I find that people older than us still think that.
Yes.
Like my boss and I have conversations about, like, he's a big reader and I'm a big reader, and I'll read pretty much anything if I think it's going to interest me.
Yep.
And so we were having a conversation. This is a long time ago. And he was like, so like, do you only read like fantasy stuff? And like, you could tell the way he was trying to make it sound like he's like, it's okay that you read that, but the judgment was there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was so there.
I know.
And I'm like, Game of Thrones is one of the most like popular shows in the world. Like,
right. Rah. Yeah, I mean, my when I was in college, I had a summer job in college, and I would every Wednesday, I worked near the comic book store, so every Wednesday I would, on my lunch break, I would take a walk and go to the comic book shop and
I used to do that too.
Right. Yeah. And my boss was like a 65-year-old man, a super nice guy. His name was also Frank. And he would be like, oh, did you get your comic books? And he would just kind of like, just his tone was sort of like, I don't understand why
you don't
like,
understand children.
You're a college student. You're a grown, like, that was his tone was sort of,
yeah,
like,
you're a grown man.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, you're smart. You're in college. I don't understand why you read comic books. Like, you're not a child. I don't get it. But like, okay, like, that's fine. He's like, yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to like Superman. When I was a child, like that was his,
when I was 4.
Yeah. Right, that was kind of his attitude. It was like when I was 10 or less.
24.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But I mean, I used to work at Blockbuster.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so, but all the guys there were all, I mean, they're all cool guys, you know, like, you know, someone's a teacher, someone's a professional musician, you know, I got my tats, I got my this, I got my girls, I got my car, all this stuff. But they were all comic book guys, mm-hmm. too. They all liked movies, they all liked music, and they all liked comic books. That was just what they were. And so standing behind the counter, you'd have conversations. And I was definitely, for a while, I was the youngest employee. And they certainly weren't that much older than me, like 10 years, you know, maximum older than sure. me. And so... But, you know, these cool guys in their 20s and all this stuff. And they're like, yeah, so, you know, went out to the bar last night and saw so-and-so. And so-and-so was playing. And so I went to go see that band, you know. And then I went home and I read my Spider-Man, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was hugely, with thinking back on it, that was hugely influential for me.
Sure. That's interesting. That makes a lot of sense because they were, if they worked at Blockbuster, they must have, I mean, like, there's a decent chance that they're, like, fans of, like, pop culture and like media, you know,
exactly.
It's not a huge leap from film to comics, because that's storytelling and it's another medium to tell stories. When I was just starting to date my now fiance, she was like, you have a lot of comic books in your apartment, like you know, she just kind of thought it was kind of unusual. Yeah, I know, right? She has. She's seen your place now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, like, this was... She had never dated somebody who was, like, an adult man who was still into comic books.
Yes.
And I was like, well, you know, she was like, what is it about it that, like, you still enjoy it as an adult? And I was like, well, for me, it's I enjoy...
The underwear on the outside.
It's the underwear on the outside, yeah. Honey. That's what I like. No. It was like, this is what I like these stories. And I like these kinds of characters. I enjoy, more than anything, I enjoy these stories and these types of stories and this style of storytelling. And the way that these stories are told with these characters happens to be in comic books. So that's what I enjoy reading them because of character and story reasons. Not because, like, I mean, partly it is because I like superheroes, but mm-hmm. that's how it started. But now it continues as an adult and I have find, you know, grown-up appreciation for those things in the way the stories are crafted and told and the great writing and the great reveals and beautiful art. that's why I enjoy them now. And when I explained it to her that way, I was, you know, she was like, okay, I get that. Like, some people like a certain kind of movie or a certain kind of story, and that certain kind of story happens to be, you know, rom-coms or sitcoms or whatever the medium is that tells the stories that they like. For me, it's comic books. I have like novels that are about Superman or about the same kinds of heroes and stuff, you know, Star Wars novelizations and stuff too. Those are another medium where the stories that I like get told. But for the most part, those stories are told in comic books. So that's why I collect them.
That's right. But I think there's something on top of that in which if you grew up with these characters and you grew up loving not just the types of stories but the characters specifically,
yeah,
it's like your soap operas. And so, like, it's true. They are soap operas, and so, like, you're invested in them enough to be like, okay, what's going on in their lives now? It's not just about like I've stated many times that some of my favorite comic book stories, superhero stories specifically, have nothing to do with beating up the supervillain.
Right.
Because it's all about character progression. And now you're talking characters who have been progressing, some of them for 75, 76 years.
Yep.
And so that's a lot of love for that character that you don't get from just watching a movie.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean... You know, the closest thing maybe you could come to in movies is like James Bond or something that's been around for 50 years.
Right. Well, but James Bond is even kind of a stagnant character. He doesn't really change.
It's true. I mean, I won't go into that. But people might argue the same thing about superheroes. I would disagree with them, but that argument could be made.
That the superhero doesn't change, then they don't know enough about the medium. Because they're making a claim, an unsubstantiated claim.
So playing devil's advocate, I could say the same thing about your statement about James Bond. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that. I agree with you. He hasn't changed that much, but someone
I guess you could like plop down. You could open up a Superman comic from 2015 and look at it and be like Superman, and then go back to 1938 and open up Action Comics and be like Superman. You know, like I recognize this character in both its forms, regardless of the changes that have been made.
It's been modernized. It's been changed. You know, just like if you watch Skyfall and then you go back and watch Dr. No, there's commonalities there.
I guess that's true. So it does change. So maybe I do recant my statement a little bit, but
I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm just saying that someone who
I was thinking more of James Bond's like personal changes, you know, like, but you know, at the end of the James Bond still works for MI6. He still defeats the bad guys. And I guess you could say the same thing about any character, but you're right. I guess it's about delving into it.
So you're about to say something about you like the stories that are not necessarily the bad guy beating up the good guy beating up the bad guy.
Right. I certainly like those stories, but I much prefer, because I care about these characters on a deeper level, having grown up with them. Even when you go back to the cartoons that I watched when I was a kid, like my favorite episodes of Spider-Man or the X-Men or anything like that didn't have to do with, oh, Dr. Doom's causing trouble, like he's causing problems again. But it's more about like, what's the relationship with Dr. Doom about?
Right.
Where is that like... And it's not always about like the, oh, twist, something big has happened, but it's about these character beats to let you understand them a little bit more, just quality writing as opposed to, you know, surface level, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I think, and that comes from years of action figures and making up your own stories, watching cartoons, watching the movies, whatever else. You want these characters to be explored on a deeper level.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that today, many of the comic book creators today are people who grew up with these characters, right? It used to be just a job, and it was these like, you know, men in like suits who were like, all right, let's write the funny books for the kids. But it's become like those kids grew up and were like us, like we were saying a few minutes ago, like they stuck with them as adults, well, even when their friends, you know, quote unquote, outgrew it. And so these guys are like, okay, I really like these characters and I like telling these stories. I want to tell these stories myself. Like, I'm going to get a job doing that.
Right.
And
you're almost into like the third or fourth generation of guys too.
That's right.
The first guys in the suits you're talking about, but then when you get to maybe the 70s and 80s, those guys grew up on them too.
That's right.
And so, but now those are the guys that first initiated change really within those characters. And then from there, now you're getting to these guys that like, there's a history, you know, anywhere between 50 and 75 years of history with these guys, that they've, like I said, they grew up on and we grew up on. And so I think the same thing even goes for television and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like the stuff that we're watching on television now, like the golden age of television and all this stuff, it's because they grew up, those guys or girls grew up with stories of character growth and description. And, you know, it's not just about like 65 episodes of Leave It to Beaver, where after every single one, everything is exactly the same at the end.
Right. Right.
Like those, I think stories like that, maybe apart from the sitcom, are pretty much done.
Yeah. The sitcom the sitcom has evolved, I guess, but it's like, it's still sort of, it's very similar to what it used to be. But other like TV drama has really evolved, like really, really evolved. And I think that's a good example, similar to like comics, where you have people who grew up watching, you know, certain types of shows, and now they're, I mean, for God's sake, when Law and Order, the original Law and Order started, like people who are working on that show now grew up on the original Law and Order.
That's
like,
right.
You know, like they were like teenagers when it came out, and now they're in the industry and they're working on like SVU and stuff. Like, that's nuts. How long that one franchise has been around, let alone soap, like actual soap operas that have been around for decades.
Right. Well, obviously the same thing goes, like people have been watching Young and the Restless or Days of Our Lives, who grew up on their parents watching it, who are now watching it themselves, you know, and then they're in it or working on it, all that stuff. And so, but it's the same idea. There's a emotional, well for those characters.
Yes.
And you just want to see them continue. And so being a geek today doesn't mean the same thing that it did even when we were growing up, when we were little.
That's
like
right.
You didn't, like when you were in high school, you didn't want people to know you liked Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was a thing you were kind of like being, the word geek used to be very negative. Like, it was an insult. Yeah. It was an insult.
Yeah.
And now people wear their, you know, fly their geek flag with pride, which I think is great. And I think it's great that we've kind of co-opted that word. I do a little bit, it does kind of annoy me when, like, the kids who used to, like, tease, guys used to tease kids like me when mm-hmm. we were in high school because they were, like, jocks.
Yeah.
And they thought that we were, you know, they would call us geeks and they'd make fun of us, whatever. And now, you know, here we are in our, like, mid to late 20s and they're like, no, I'm a geek, man. I love the Avengers. It's great. I love it. Like, no, you don't. Like, yeah. No, you well, don't.
Yeah, see, but it's like that. I understand what you mean, but like, can't, going back to the James Bond thing, can't you love Daniel Craig as James Bond and have never seen the other ones, but still love James Bond?
That's not what I'm saying. I mean, that's not even what I'm saying. I'm not saying like you have to have watched everything and read everything to understand it. Cause I haven't seen every James Bond movie. Like I've seen most of them, but I haven't seen all of them. Like I'm saying that it's funny how it's become okay. It's become okay. It's like, it's fashionable to be a geek.
Right.
And there's this sort of paradigm shift where it used to be like you didn't want to be a geek and people would make fun of you and stuff, and now it's shifting where everyone wants to identify as that, and the people who have been through it like and like kind of, you know, gotten, I hate to say suffered for it, but I can't think of a better word right now, but for lack of a better word, like sort of suffered for, you know, it's for,
but you kept people who, like, quote unquote, suffered for it, like, kept that part of culture alive.
Yeah.
Right now to thrive in popular culture.
Right. And, like, but what I mean is, like, we were kind of put through a lot of just, like, getting made fun of and stuff, getting teased for liking stuff, and we still liked it. And now the people who used to tease are the ones who want us to include them in our geek culture. And it's kind of funny how the table has turned.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I think it's kind of, there are parts about it that are great. I mean, the more popular these movies are, the more of them they will make, and the more I'll get to enjoy them. So that's great.
No, you're absolutely right. It's funny because what this is like comic book snobby, but there's a part of me that's like, you know, I love the films and all that, but in like when you hear people are like, oh, like you said, like, oh, I love the Avengers, like, you know, they fought Loki the first time, or, you know,
yeah,
Tony it's like Stark you like was in Afghanistan or whatever, and then yeah. Like, but there's a party in the back of your brain that's like, well, actually, it was Vietnam. But you see,
yeah,
changing times and the sliding time strain of the Marvel universe, like, you know,
right. And there's a part of you that feels like, well, I know the full story. You just know, like, you just arrived on the scene,
right?
And you know the most recent version, but I know the full story,
right? But now there's another conundrum that you face, where instead where you didn't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
Now it becomes, how much do you talk about it?
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like, that's if true. I could have a conversation with somebody about, I could have a conversation with almost anybody about Iron Man these days.
That's true.
But how much of a conversation about Iron Man am I going to have? Am I going to mm-hmm. talk about, you know, I'm going to talk about, like, I don't know, Pepper Potts being, you know, rescued for a while? Am I going to talk about Armor Wars or Demon in a Bottle or something like that, and they're going to look at me like, what? Like, I watch people now, like, with the Hulkbuster armor in the Avengers 2 trailer, and they were like, oh my god, why are they fighting? What is that? There's like a, it's like a Iron Man Buster machine. And you're like, oh. Like,
I know.
You know?
And so, but that's kind of what it's, the movies are sort of designed for that, in a way. Like,
they're spark notes, basically.
They're spark notes, and it's interesting to me that they are made both equal parts for people like you and I who recognize the Hulkbuster armor when we see it, and also for people who have no idea what it is. That trailer is like, whoa, did you see that? It was like a big version of Iron Man.
Right,
It's interesting. Exactly. Like, they've managed to make it so that, like, we get one thing out of it, other people get something else out of it, and we enjoy it the exact same amount.
Yep, I absolutely agree. And that's quality. That's quality work.
Yeah,
but my point with that is, like, do you step into that conversation and
right.
go, that's a Hulkbuster Actually. Armor originally meant for this, this, and this. I'm not sure what the movie's going to do with it, but now you know both stories.
Right.
See you later.
Or yeah,
do you just do you just let people go, it's like a big Iron Man, you know? Like,
yeah, it depends. I mean, for me, it's just like, if they seem like they're interested, I drop some knowledge on them. If they're not, then it's like, whatever.
Knowledge.
They're movie fans. They're just movie fans. They're a fan of these movies, and that's fine. Why should I ruin it for them? Let them.
I have no intention of ruining it at all. Right. And there's something about geek culture that was, you know, it's insular, and so like sometimes you want to be an outcast for the sake of being an outcast.
That's
almost,
true.
Almost like being a hipster that way. Like it's
when it gets too popular, it's not
too
cool
mainstream,
anymore.
So you don't want to be in it. Like a bunch of my students think I'm hipster, which I'm not. Which power to you if you are, but I'm just not.
That's
it's
not you.
It's not my culture. But I guess like if you look at it from the outside, like yes, I have a record player and horn-rimmed glasses, and I like plaid. So does that make me hipster?
Right.
Like no, not really, because I liked all those things before hipster was a word.
Right.
You know, so like yes, I have a lot of comic book knowledge that I could drop on you, but does that make me a hipster? You know what I mean? So I guess the same way, like, so I like Man of Steel as a film. Does that make me a geek? You know?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Just because you like those things doesn't make you a geek necessarily. It makes you a fan of those movies.
Right, exactly. So where does that line come in where you're like, oh, I'm a geek? Is it because you wear geek paraphernalia? Is it because you play Zombicide on the weekends or Dungeons and Dragons or... You know what? Like, where is that geek line now, or hipster?
That's
line?
That's interesting.
Or,
yeah,
you know, so even where's that jock line? You played baseball on the weekends,
right?
So does that make you a jock because used to hit a baseball?
Yeah, I guess it's become more of it's less what you do, and it's more like what is your like lifestyle? If your whole lifestyle, like if you collect comic books and you watch comic movies and you talk about comic books with your friends, like if it's like a thing that's a pervasive part of your life,
right?
That is, I think, where that line is for in terms of being a geek for me. Same with like sports. If you're, you know, you're into whatever sports you're into and you watch it, you watch SportsCenter, you talk about it with your friends, you know, read keep up with the stats, you read the articles, you read like, you know, read like the sports section of your favorite news site or whatever, like, to me, that's like the sort of quote unquote jock lifestyle is that, or like sports fan lifestyle, you know, is
right.
If that's like your big hobby, if comics are your big hobby, things related to comics are your big hobby, like that's where the delineation is to me.
That makes sense.
But
I mean, like I coach two sports. Does that mean I'm a jock?
Right.
Right.
I mean, I would
never consider myself one.
Right. I wouldn't either.
And nothing against jocks. I know I'm not one, even though that sports are actually part of my life.
Right. And what's, I think you're making a very interesting point because sports are just part of everyday life. Like, like so many people are into sports, right? And they're not quote unquote jocks necessarily. Mm. And similarly, in the last 10, 15 years, geek culture has become just part of pop culture. So people are into, you know, comic book movies who aren't geeks. People play Settlers of Catan who aren't geeks. Like, people do all sorts of things that used to be identified as a geek. Dungeons and Dragons has become a thing that people do for fun who aren't necessarily geeks. Like, it's an acceptable. D&D is, like, becoming a more and more just like, oh, we're at a party and we're hanging out. Let's play D&D.
Like, right. Or, like, branch versions of of it. Even if it's not. Yeah, exactly. Even if it's, like, if your friends aren't going to sit around and read comic books together, you might sit around and watch Captain America Winter Soldier together.
Yep. So like it's become, these things have become just part of everyday life in a lot of ways. So yeah, it's interesting. Just like the baseline for what makes you a geek is like the bar is being raised all the time. You have to be more and more super obsessed with it to be considered a quote unquote geek.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this has been Sociology with Geeks, you know.
Beer with Geeks, Secret Origins.
Oh, yes. Your Secret Origins. None of you knew this about us, except some of you probably did. So anyway, where can the people find us, Frank?
They can find us at beerwithgeeks.com, at beerwithgeeks on Twitter, facebook.com/beerwithgeeks, beerwithgeeks@gmail.com for any questions, comments, topic suggestions, feedback, or find us on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio and leave us reviews. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Please tell us what you like. If you're leaving a review, please make it positive. We would very much appreciate it.
We appreciate the positive.
But if you have things you don't like, please email us, tweet us, let us know.
And if anybody can find us a good place to watch Twin Peaks without spending $50, please let us know, because I would like to watch it.
Isn't Twin Peaks on Netflix now?
It is not. Unless I haven't checked in like a day, which I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it used to be. It must have gotten removed.
It did used to be. I do absolutely remember when it was on, and I didn't watch it then. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Twin Peaks is something that just keeps popping up. And I'm like, I would like to watch you, and I never can. Oh my God, it is on Netflix. Oh,
I
it is.
So.
Yes, added to my list. It wasn't last time I checked. Okay.
Nice.
Life is good. Never mind. Never mind, folks. I am well aware where Twin Peaks is. I will be watching it. This has been your host, Tim, and that has been Frank. All right. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.